بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today's hadith is narrated by Naji' al-Irbad ibn Sariya. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a sermon. He was giving us advice, and this particular type of advice that he was giving, وَجِلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبِ, our hearts begin to tremble by listening to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَظَرَفَتْ مِنْهَا الْعُيُونِ, and our eyes begin to cry. His talk was so moving, and it wasn't something normal. It had a little kick to it. That we said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَّهُ, we said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَأَنَّهَا مَوْئِذَةٌ مَوَدَّعٌ, it's as if you are leaving us. It's your parting advice. It's like a father who's leaving, and as he's leaving, he tells his son, take care of your mother while I'm gone. Make sure you pay these bills. Be good to your siblings. That just by hearing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were shooken up. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we said that, فَأَوْصِنَا, give us some more advice. قَالَ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أُوْسِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَ اللَّهِ, the main thing that I give you advice of is to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this concept of taqwa is actually a huge part of our religion. And the reason being is, if you look at Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, we haven't created mankind or jinnkind except to worship us. And I like to break down our lives and understand this a little bit better. If our sole purpose of creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we look at our day-to-day life and we look at ourselves and say, how much of my daily life do I worship Allah? The reality is, when it comes to salah, our usual salah takes maybe, let's say, 10 to 12 minutes. Right? Coming, going time. Let's be a bit wild and say that you want the whole part of coming to salah, 2 hours from our day. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, your 24 hours, from that, only 2 hours, you're fulfilling your purpose of creation. And the rest, you're doing other stuff. Filler. And when scholars talk about this, they say, imagine there's something that you go to buy, go to purchase. Let's say you go to purchase a car, you go into the Mercedes dealership, or you go, nowadays Tesla is a thing, right? You know, you go into a Tesla dealership, and the dealer says to you, there's this bells, there's this whistles, it will do this for you, it will do that for you. The fridge that you're getting, it will tell you what's inside and what you need to buy. And it has all these bells and whistles, but this car does not get you from point A to point B. Or this fridge will do all these crazy stuff, but it does not keep your food cold. Or this microwave, it doesn't warm up your food. If we ask ourselves what will be the value of that thing, we'll say it'll be garbage, trash. Why? Because it's not fulfilling the purpose of its creation. Similarly, where it comes to you and I, when the moment that we stop fulfilling the purpose of our creation, we become a waste, just like that car that doesn't get you to point A to point B. Just like that fridge that doesn't keep the food cold. When we no longer fulfill the purpose of our creation, and that is, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, we then become a failure. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how we can turn our day-to-day life, or our 24 hours a day, into worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this one quality where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أُوْسِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَ اللَّهِ, I give you the advice of being mindful and conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where throughout your day, whatever you're doing, as long as you have this quality of taqwa as you do it, then the whole time that you're doing that, it becomes a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means that 9 hours that you spend at work, If you have taqwa and you have God consciousness, and you're aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you as you're working, so because of that you don't cheat, because of that you fulfill the time that you're supposed to give, your 9 to 8 hours at work, it becomes an act of worship. Now the 3 hours that you spend with your children, and you know, 3 hours is a lot of times, usually we're so tied up with stuff, we get 5 minutes or 10 minutes of meaningful conversation with our children, that's a win. But those 3 hours that you spend with your children, if you have taqwa, God consciousness, you're aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I am being just with my children. I'm not taking out my anger on my children, the way that I speak to my spouse. Then the time that you spend with your family, it actually becomes a worship. Even the entertainment and the leisure time that you have, when you're out at the mall, when you're shopping, when you're at the park, if you have taqwa there, if you're conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, should I do this or should I not do this? Should I look at this or should I not look at this? Should I listen to this or should I not listen to this? Then even that leisure time becomes an act of worship. And now, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, it goes from 2 hours until your 24-hour day, where constantly you're in the state of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where the Prophet starts off this hadith, says, the one thing that I give you advice is, أُوْسِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ. He then says, وَالسَّمْعَ وَالْطَاعَ, that you listen, and after listening, you obey. Whatever the Prophet ﷺ has taught us, whatever comes to the Quran, whatever comes to the hadith, that you listen to that, and then you immediately obey it, even from the leader of the believers. And the Prophet ﷺ says, and if the leader of the believers is even a slave, somebody that might not seem to be of high status, might not seem to be rich, might not seem to be someone that's prestigious, as long as they are coming to you with the truth, with the haq, with the words of Allah, with the words of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then your job is sama wa ita'a, listen and then bring it into your action. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, verily, whoever lives a long life, for those of you that live a long life, you will see a lot of controversy. You will see a lot of fitna. And when this happens, then hold on to my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa'i Rashidin. Now the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't just say my sunnah, but he says also the sunnah of the Khulafa'i Rashidin. Why? Because there will be certain things that I do and the certain things that my Khulafa'i Rashidin do. As long as it falls under this category, then the Prophet ﷺ says, hold on to it with your molar teeth. Hold on to it tightly. Even if you can't grasp it with your hands, just grab it with your teeth. Don't let go. With my sunnah and the sunnah of my Khulafa Rashidin. Now, the fitna that the Prophet ﷺ is talking about here, it started from the time of Uthman bin Affan. The Prophet ﷺ, one hadith, he tells us that Uthman, he's a door of fitna. And then, you know, Uthman, he asks the Prophet ﷺ, would that door be removed, or will it be broken? And the Prophet ﷺ says that door will be broken. It won't be removed, it will be broken. And Uthman thought at that moment, he understood that I'm going to be shaheed. And this is, you know, it's a very interesting story. How the rebels at the time of Uthman, they rebelled. And the shahada of Uthman, and to summarize the story, Uthman, he had was approached by a group of people from Iraq. And they sent a letter to Uthman saying that there's a certain person who you have appointed as the Amir, the governor. But this person isn't just. This person is wrong. He doesn't treat us fairly. We would like to remove that person, and in place of this person, our suggestion is this second person will be a great fit. Uthman Adhan says, you are the people of the land. You know better. So I agree. This person that's appointed currently, I remove that person. And the second person who you suggest, I put them in that position as a governor of your locality. He signs a letter. He stamps it. and then they take off to their country. As they're going, they see a person that's on a horse, traveling fast. And they ask this person, where are you going? I'm going to so-and-so place. Wait, we're from that place. What do you have with you? This is a letter from Uthman, Khalifa Uthman al Dhatan. They said that we have a letter from Uthman as well. What does your letter say? Well, our letter says that the current governor is being replaced with the governor that we suggest, with the person that we suggest. He says, my letter says that everything that's in yours, disregarded. This group of people, they turned around and they went to Medina to Munawwara, and they rebelled against Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, and they actually surrounded the house of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an for 40 days. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, he was stopped from going to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, he was stopped from any food coming into his house or any water coming into his house. And one day Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, he comes out and he says, what are y'all doing? You're stopping me from going to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereas I single-handedly financed the expansion of that masjid. He said, you're stopping food from coming into my house, where I, at one time, I was the one who fed the whole city of Medina with my wealth. You're stopping water from coming to my house. And when the Muslims came into Medina to Munawwara, the Muslims didn't have a source of sweet water. And I purchased the well of Rumah and I donated it so the Muslims have a source of sweet water, and yet you're stopping water from coming to my house. And for 40 days, Uthman al-Dhan, he fasted, locked in his house. Ali ibn Talib comes to Uthman and says, Uthman, you give me the command. These rebels, small in number, we have a huge army of Muslims. We can wipe them out. Uthman al-Dhan said, no. I don't want any bloodshed because of me. I don't want the bloodshed to be a Muslim to die because of me. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was guarding Uthman al-Dhan's house. So Ali Dhan goes, look, if you're not going to allow us to attack them, then let us set up some people to guard your house so that they don't attack you. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who was protecting Uthman al-Dhan's house, one of the rebels said to him that, I'm going to tell you three things, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. He said, number one, is it true that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala did not take part in the Battle of Badr? And Abdullah bin Umar said, yes, it's true. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala did not fight in the Battle of Badr. He said, number two, is it true that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala ran away from the battlefield in Uhud? He said, yes, it's true. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala ran away from the battlefield in Uhud. He said, number three, is it true that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, when they did the Bayt al-Rizwan underneath the tree, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises in the Quran, tahta shajara, is it true that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala wasn't there? And Abdullah bin Umar says, it's true. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala wasn't there. He didn't take part in this pact. He goes, but let me answer all three of your ridiculous objections against Uthman. He said, number one, Uthman al-Tan didn't fight in the Battle of Badr because the Prophet ﷺ requested him to stay with Ruqayya, the Prophet ﷺ's daughter and Uthman al-Tan's wife. Why? Because she was sick. And when the Prophet ﷺ, the Muslims, came into Medina to Munawwara, Uthman al-Tan was returning into Medina after burying his wife Ruqayya. He says, as for number two, the Battle of Uhud. When we heard that the Prophet ﷺ had passed away, the rumors were spread that Rasulullah ﷺ had passed away, some of us dove into the enemy, and others of us, we retreated and left back. Why? Because if the Prophet ﷺ is not here, then why should we fight? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses forgiving these people and clearing their names. And he says, as for Bayt al-Rizwan, Bayt al-Rizwan happened, why? Because of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent him as a negotiator, and when he didn't come back, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sat down and he said that we have to avenge Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And he said, so it's not possible for Uthman to be there. And he goes, but even on top of that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took his hand and he says, this right here is for Uthman, and he placed his hand on top of everybody's hand, and that's when the pact was taken. That's when the oath was taken. Now, on the 40th day, Uthman al-Thani, he sees a dream where the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu come, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Uthman, that Uthman, you have been fasting for 40 days. Today you are going to have your iftar with us. Today you're going to break your fast with us. Uthman radiallahu anhu woke up and he tied his lower garment tightly. He said, today something's going to happen, and I don't want my body to be exposed. And he goes outside to the guards and he says, whatever happens today, remember, no bloodshed of a Muslim should happen. And this is where some rebels, they climbed over the house of the neighbor's house, and they came into the house of Uthman radiallahu anhu. There were two attempts that were made. The first attempt, the person comes and grabs the beard of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And Uthman radiallahu anhu says that if your father was alive, you wouldn't do this. And the person let go. He was holding the beard of Uthman. He said, look, if your father was alive, you wouldn't do this. And this was actually one of the sons of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who fell into the traps of these rebels and kind of fell into this propaganda. And then immediately a second person attempted, and he chopped the fingers of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And Uthman radiallahu anhu at that time was reading the Quran. And the blood of Uthman fell onto the Quran. And Uthman radiallahu anhu says, this was the first hand that wrote the verses of Quran. When the Quran was revealed, the first time it was written, the hand that you just chopped off was the hand that wrote the Quran for the first time. And then these rebels, they went on ahead, they attacked Uthman al-Dhan's wife, and they ended up, na'udhu billah, killing Uthman al-Dhan. And this was the beginning of fitnas in our religion. The beginning, and this is where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here is saying that for those of you that have a long life, you will see many fitnas come into our religion. And when you see these fitnas, hold on to the sunnah, and the sunnah of my sunnah, and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, even if it's with your molars. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, beware of new matters, beware of bid'ah. Right? Wa iyyakum al-bid'ah. Innovations. Things that people bring into Islam. Now, of course, there are things that we bring in, for example, you know, that wasn't there at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, biryani. Right? So the question is biryani a bid'ah? Because why it wasn't there at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the answer is, the definition of a bid'ah is something that you do with the intention that this act will give me reward. The act done in this particular way is giving me reward. Now, for example, somebody asks us that, you know, can we come together and read Yasin, have a Yasin khatam? The coming together part, nobody expects that part to give them reward, but the reading of Surah Yasin, that gives them the reward. So that's why this act wouldn't be considered a bid'ah. Why? Because you don't expect to be rewarded for coming together and reading, but you expect to be rewarded for reading Surah Yasin. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ says, وَإِيَّاكُمْ الْبِدْعَةِ. Every new thing that's innovated in Islam that people expect to get reward. For example, somebody says that if you eat so-and-so halwa or so-and-so sweet dish on so-and-so day, then that will be a bid'ah. Right? If they say that you get reward for that, that would be a bid'ah. Unless we find it in the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, and then Rasulullah, the companion of Rasulullah ﷺ, and then the final thing Rasulullah ﷺ, he says, وَكُلُّ بِدَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And every innovation is a misguidance. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, he was revealed the verses, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Today we have perfected and completed your religion. You will find it in the Quran, you will find it in the sunnah. Anything that's brought in innovated, that is rejected. Why? وَكُلُّ بِدَعْتٍ دَلَالَةٍ. Every new thing is a misguidance because our religion is complete. We bring dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives ability to act upon the sunnah and to understand the value of the sunnah in our lives. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, mashallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa ta'ala.